or if the property owner is designated to stay out of the commercial.
Right.
Mr. Martin and those people along that portion chose to do a residential subdivision and not opt out of the commercial.
Right.
The Hickory Hills opted to come out. Now, that wasn't, I don't know what the failure was there or how the township wound up having what they had, but I remember distinctly in all of those negotiations with Cal Damien that the only lot in that subdivision would be the lot that they were using for sales. And when the subdivision was built out, that would also refer back to residential. That clearly needs to be in the minutes somewhere or recorded somehow. Okay. Because that would... Huh?
That's pretty typical, that the sale, that would, the model home sales office would be...
Right, considered commercial for the length and then revert back. So that's that's what was done there. The Emery property, because the Emery brothers had always done that and they were on either side, was clearly left alone. We knew that that was a residential development in a DD district. Because at the
that was next to the grindstone.
Yes, right. Bruce Jim and Giff Emery owned all that property where the grindstone was.
Yep.
There was one piece where the little ponds are there. Christine Elder and her husband owned that. And that was all, and they're running commercial business out of there now. So that whole thing between Owego Turnpike and Route 6 was in that corridor. And that, so it's, unless my memory doesn't serve me well, but I usually don't. I usually remember that kind of stuff.
That goes right along with every tale that I heard. So
that's the way it happened. So, you had mentioned one time, Tony, that you can change the map and without notifying each individual property owner.
Now, Tony,
let him finish.
There's a provision that allows you, and it's an advertising provision. It basically says if the map is deemed to be a comprehensive change and not just a minor change, if it's a comprehensive map change, and we can probably argue this is because we're changing things in the center of the map, on one end of the map and on the other end of the map. So we can probably argue this is a comprehensive change. The danger in that is if someone comes along later on and says, hey, you changed my DD zone to an RD zone and I never got any notice. And that's the reason that I would balk at that, but it can be done. And Department of Community Planning knows it can be done that way, because Mr. Mrazinski and I had that conversation on the phone. Because when I got his letter, I was appalled because I thought this was done.
Well, in practical terms, we're not doing anything that's egregious. We're doing what we all understand to be, and you're going to leave the other big pieces. Substantially, the only thing you're changing is Hickory Hills. Is that my right?
That's the only thing that has any kind of substance.
I don't think
anybody in that development.
Can I finish? Where is the legal argument when they come back later, where you always say, "Well, you didn't pay attention. Your ignorance of the law is not our problem."
Yeah. The argument being that procedurally the change wasn't done correctly. So that's why we have to advertise it as a comprehensive map change.
Well, if you do that, doesn't that protect you?
It could. I just don't. I didn't want to be the one to, you know, because 20 years from now, when someone comes back arguing this, They're gonna, yeah, what are you gonna say? No one's gonna be around. Can we do it without giving everyone public notice? I think so. I think we can do it by sending a letter, letting people know that it's going to be changed.
What if we send it to the association?
Right, or to the association, letting them know what is going to happen, when it's going to happen. If there's any interested residents, they should come to the hearing.
All right, now can I say something? If you look, the map that bicolored it with four colors?
The four-colored map.
Yeah. Right, look at the bottom left. That's Hickory Hills, and it's marked R.
Yeah.
In the little plan, right there.
Yeah, but they don't have that as an accepted map anyway, so they just have
No, this. My point is, who put the R on? The county.
Who says they did?
That's where you get your tax map from.
Well, yeah. So logistically and financially, having a hearing with a substantive change without notifying every individual property owner is going to be less money. Is it not?
It is.
And in practical terms, how many people are going to come back and say later, this, we're the only ones we're changing are the ones we know to be residential, and Mr. Quick, huh?
And Kevin, don't forget, we have to change Don's property too, because it was never changed.
Yeah, but that was done by resolution of the supervisors.
I know.
So we don't have, nobody can bite us in the behind on that one.
Correct.
So the only thing is you get somebody who wants to have a business in Hickory Hills will come later and say, I thought maybe I could do this.
No.
So
I'm sure, and Bob and I discussed that, and I even said to Bob, I'm sure if you look at the deeds in Hickory Hills, I'm sure they have some type of restriction.
Yeah, it's probably covenants within their deeds about businesses.
Right.
Well, would it pay to pull one of those deeds and just get a look at it? Because property owners do not pay attention to the covenants in their deeds. You should see.
Oh, I know.
You should see what my neighbors do up there, and they ask me about it, and I say, "Oh, I know what covenants are in your deed, but
it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt to look at one.
Because that right there would negate any legal
substantive challenge.
Yeah.
Substantive. I'm not worried about a substantive challenge. I'm worried more about a procedural challenge. You didn't use the right procedure. That's the one I'm worried
about.
But
if it's outlined as proper channel.
Can you fundamentally justify that it's the type of change that warrants that? Can you put that in the notice?
I can't. I can do that.
You mean you acknowledge your you acknowledge your
comprehensive map change.
Yeah. You
and refer to section 609C. Yeah.
Well, I think this is in the supervisor's hand.
Yeah, it is, and I think they'll go along with it.
It could have went right to the supervisors, but I wanted us to discuss it so get everybody's point of view on it, you know?
Thank you.
Well, we have to put an end to this one way or another if it's that important. The only other
thing... It might get approved faster if we send it to Wayne County.
You know, it's funny to say that, but...
Oh, God.
It's funny, but it's not
please.
Funny because I don't seem to have this issue with the Wayne County Community Planning Office.
All right, so let's move it.
I can't say what's on my mind in a public meeting.
Me neither.
So we just move it forward with the suggestion of that Tony discuss it with the supervisors.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
so...
Thank you.
So we don't need any motions or anything from here. It just You're just gonna refer this to the supervisors?
Refer to supervisors.
It's simple. We did that at the last meeting, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
And if we, it, when you have the hearing, if we can come and testify, if there's other people that have whatever, we can say why we did it the way we've done it, right?
That would be the forum for that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that this is really not a substantive change, it's just, this is basically a clerical error.
Yeah, it's just housekeeping.
Verification.
Right, so.
Because the R was changed to a D by mistake.
Well, we have no way of knowing, but, you know, it was just, but, and I remember what was done at those meetings, so. All right. Seacrest lot combination. Did you get a chance to look at that, Tony?
I did. Actually, thank you for sending that over. And I did get a chance to look at the deed, the underlying deeds, and also the map. And I don't have any questions on it.
My comment is that it is actually improving a non-conforming lot.
Yep.
That's correct.
It does not have a notation on the map saying that it will stay this way in perpetuity, or however you want to do that. I don't see a notation on the map.
I thought I saw that.
It was in the paperwork, but not on the map itself.
Well, once it's combined, it can never be uncombined because that would be creating a.
Yeah, but it's the, right.
It should actually be on the map also.
It should be on the map from what we've done in practice in the past.
Okay. Good.
Did you look at this?
I did not.
To have a map. Yeah. Kevin, I didn't see my size of my map is this, so I can't even read the notes.
Well, the note, this is Mr. Ewald's map, which is pretty standard with what he does. So, it says the designations, the area, the owners, the deed of record,
inseparable.
Flood zone, soil type.
It says it right here. They're inseparable.
Number nine, Kevin.
Under notes, it should
become an inseparable part of tax law.
Okay. Cannot be subdivided, conveyed, or sold separately or apart therefrom without.
I thought it was on.
Okay, yeah. All right. I knew I'd read it somewhere. So,
no,
I would recommend that you, because this has not been sent to county.
Yeah.
I would recommend you send this to county and then we act on it after they've.
Absolutely.
Is that all right, Tony?
That's correct.
So be sure that the county planning commission gets that. So should we do that in a motion? Mr. Seacrest is in a hurry to get this done, but
sure.
There's nobody here. So I'll accept a motion that the map be referred to county, and if we get any comments from our engineer or our attorney.
We're actually going to vote?
Yes.
Okay.
Huh?
I said what? We're actually going to vote?
Yeah.
You're not going to vote until you hear back from the county, right?
Right.
You don't want us to vote until we hear back from the county?
Oh, no, you should.
Make a motion tonight.
Move it to the county.
What?
Make a motion.
Just move it to the county.
You should make sure to just send it to the county.
We don't need to make a motion for that.
No.
No, all right.
Yeah, we don't need to make a motion.
Okay.
And just direct the secretary to send it to the county planning, and.
And then when it's on the next agenda at the next meeting, then we can make the motion to move it on.
Right. We are so directing you. It's that way.
Okay. We don't have emergency management on here. Are we making any progress with those guys? You were.
What was I doing?
Emergency management. You guys were planning some of that stuff.
Oh, no, that got taken out of us. That's.
Oh, yeah. What's his name from the fire department?
Yeah. And it was named Eric.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eric's
in charge of that, but is he going to let us know what he's doing or what the...
He's supposed to.
Right, so...
Wasn't he communicating through Mike?
He was.
Give me that so I can put that with their stuff so it doesn't get lost. You have 12 of those. So, so we just want to remind the...
Public participation?
We asked for public participation with...
DePetris.
With Mr. DePetris.
Oh, okay.
There's nobody else on Zoom other than you.
Yeah. I've not heard from Attorney Waldron, so I don't know. Maybe he's going to get at them tomorrow or whatever, but I've already warned Attorney Waldron that we can't do anything without Mr. Belwar being present, so.
And that would include a curative amendment as well, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But a curative amendment has got to go to the planning board first.
No, I know it does not, but we were assured that anything that had to do with this would be part of the conversation.
They were doing that and also looking at ordinances for mixed use.
Because the board of supervisors is not going to do anything without a recommendation from planning.
No.
But what I don't understand is this is doable. Why is a curative amendment even appropriate? Because they want to do it their way?
I think because they want to do, distances between the buildings which are conforming to their plan, and not necessarily distances that would be required by the ordinance if they were all separate parcels. So in other words, they may want to end the gas station at point A and 50 feet from the gas station start the restaurant.
They want tighter spaces.
Okay, so what? Cluster type development.
Right.
Okay, so what obligation does the township have to accommodate a curative amendment?
None.
So why would it even be considered?
Is it because a use not provided for, they can take us to court on that, right?
It's a use not provided for, they can go to the zoning hearing board. Well, first they have to come to you, and you've got to give recommendations.
Right. But in a case like that, where it does end up going to court, they usually award the applicant, right?
Well, yeah. They usually find any ambiguity against the township. I think the supervisors would rather control the outcome of this than the zoning hearing board, especially since we have zoning hearing board members that have no experience whatsoever. I've never had a hearing.
Well, is this part of why when they heard Mr. Belwar that they want to go to curative amendment so they will get to a zoning hearing board?
Oh, no, that comes before the supervisors.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Okay, so.
Yeah, I said to both Mr. Waldron and to Carson Helfrick that if the buildings are laid out in a particular manner, and they're all approved or conditional uses, and there's sufficient space between the buildings to allow for firefighting purposes and ingress and egress, and you can meet or exceed the traffic requirements for PennDOT, this looks like a doable project, but I'm not sure why you want to go through this extra step, but that's their prerogative at this point.
They're trying to preserve land.
Right.
Yeah, so, pretty obvious.
But.
And they still haven't made mentions of anything that they're going to do across the street, right?
No.
If what they are proposing is a cluster type commercial development, all of the ordinances that deal with that, you have to reserve open space. So the remaining land would probably be held as open space anyway on that side of the roadway.
If I remember correctly, last time they brought in their plans, the only open space they had was the septic system, because that was like, I don't know, 10 acres?
Correct. And it may be that way again.
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't seen a plan.
I don't know if I would consider septic open space, because now with the DEP, they have new stuff out that you can't put anything on top of the septic. Nothing at all.
That's correct.
Not even like a picnic table or
anything? Nope. Septic system.
Really?
We did a primary and secondary on some properties, and they said we had a fence off the secondary. I said, why? You got to protect it. I said, well, look what happened to it. I said, somebody could put a barbecue, a picnic table and stuff on top of it.
Oh, what?
Like, that's really going to bother it.
And compact the soil or something?
Yeah.
To change the...
Yeah.
Yeah. There's all new people at the DEP, and they don't even know what they lost in court years ago.
They are totally by the book. They have a book, and they read every line, and they literally interpret every line.
And if they don't like what they're reading, they make up a policy.
That's right.
Like the 800 gallons a day. I told them that doesn't apply to on-lot septic. That only applies to water discharges or stream discharges. So they came back to me and said, well, we created a policy. Now it goes by single-family home. If you got double that, it's 800 gallons. You need to go through DEP. So I have all two-family houses now have to go through DEP. And you got to do a planning module and everything.
That reduces the burden on the sewage officer.
Yeah, nah. To a degree.
Even though when after DEP reviews it and approves it, who issues the permit?
The sewage officer.
That's right.
Any other public participation? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Before we do adjourn, though, I want everybody to realize that the meeting, the actual meeting this month, I will not be able to attend. So okay. I'm asking you guys to be sure that you're here, and I don't know, one of the other two you need to get to. So would you contact them and let them know I have training for my professional licensure there.
Was that in Harrisburg?
No, actually, the Finger Lakes Association does New York and Pennsylvania at the same time.
Oh, that's great.
So I can, in 2 days, can get my 2-year credits for both, except for Pennsylvania child abuse.
Why don't the lawyers do that?
I don't know. They did this a few years ago. It's
a couple of days up in Finger Lakes.
Yep. Yep. So it's...
Sip of the vino.
That's it.
Well, it's 2 8-hour days, so you don't get much time to do anything else.
I know.
Well, it depends on how much you need to sleep.
I know. They're brutal. But well, thank you all very much, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call me.
Okay.
We call you a lot of things. No, that's not what I
mean. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. See you.
See you
later,
Tony.
Good night.
So I guess that's all in favor, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Aye. Aye.
What date is that?
Leave the maps.
Leave the maps, okay.
And give them to the supervisors. And